Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Joy 94.9.
This is Gay News Week on Joy 94.9.
Have your say. 1300 Joy 949.
Gay News Week.
Gay News Week on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
A very good evening to you and Happy New Year and welcome from the entire team at Gay News Week right here on your GLBTI radio station, Joy 94.9. In 2012 on Gay News Week, we had Jeffrey, Sammy and Matt. We were the team. We were the one that brought you the news each week. This year is 2013. My name's Matt Thompson and I'm joined in the studio this evening by a fresh voice for our radio show, Katie Larson. Welcome to Gay News Week.
Thank you very much, Matt. I'm very happy to be here.
Now, you are coming on board this year
for
Gay News Week. You are a fresh voice. We will have Jeffrey Devine next week. He couldn't make it this evening. Sammy's taken a break from the show, but it's you and me with tonight.
I'm knocking them off one by one, Matt.
I guess I'm next then, aren't I? Well, we're doing something a little bit different this week. We usually cover the topics that have been in the news over the past week, but this week we're taking on a little bit of nostalgia. We're going to look back on the stories of 2012, and we're also going to be looking ahead, won't we?
Absolutely. It's always a good time to pause for reflection at the end of a year, and there certainly was a lot happened in 2012, and I think there's going to be a lot of exciting stuff happening in the community in 2013, and it's going to be very, very exciting to be here to cover it with you guys.
Certainly. Coming up on tonight's show, earlier today we spoke to Serkan Ozturk. He is the news editor at Gay News Network and also SX in Sydney, which is the sister publication to our MCV here in Melbourne.
Right.
We spoke to him about the big stories of 2012.
Yes, we did, and there was certainly a lot that was covered by those guys, and we had a good chat to him about some of the highlights and the lowlights, and he also then talked to us a little bit about 2013, in particular the people to watch in the community, of which there are many.
There are many, and one of them on that list we're actually speaking to also later this evening is from the VGLRL.
That's right. Anna Brown is the co-convener of the VGLRL, and she's going to be having a chat to us about what they've got coming up in 2013 and what are some of the challenges they're looking at and also some of the things they're looking forward to doing within the community.
Yes, certainly. Now, before we get into any of it, I want to say if at any time you want to get in contact with us here in the studio, please do so because we love your feedback. This is how you do so.
You're listening to the Gay Newsweek podcast. Get in touch. Email gaynewsweek@joy.org.au or check out joy.org.au/gaynewsweek for all of the links to our social media pages.
It is, of course, Gay News Week with Katie and Matt with you this evening. Katie, I want to talk a little bit about you because you are a fresh voice here at Joy 94.9. We might find out a little bit more about that later. But first of all, I want to hear your story. Where did you start out?
Well, in life?
No. Yeah, in life, whatever. You can interpret that either way you like.
Well, I was born in New Zealand. It's always good to remember that because, you know, I don't like New Zealand jokes.
okay, I'll keep that in mind.
Keep that in mind.
Thank you.
But, yeah, I used to do some work with Joy many a year ago when I was younger than I am now. And I did some news reading and I was part of Generation Next in its early years. And it was great fun. But then I thought I had to go off and have a serious career. So I did that for a while and now I've realised I don't.
Well, we're glad to have you back here. At Joy 94.9, playing around and doing all things. Your serious career, tell us about that a little bit.
Yeah, I worked for, are you allowed to say the name? I think so.
Well, what industry is it in?
It was in newspapers.
Okay.
So one of the big players in the newspapers, and I worked in advertising and account management and that for nearly 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you've definitely got a background in the news industry and as far as journalism goes, don't you?
Yes, and I did a journalism degree back in the early days as well.
Okay,
so,
whereabouts?
RMIT.
Gotcha, cool.
So that was great. And then I realised I wanted to do something more community. I wanted to get back into the community development work, so I moved over.
Earlier today you actually said to me I had to do something for the soul. Which
I was softening it.
No, I think this is absolutely fabulous. I don't think enough people do things for the soul these days.
Oh, well, I would agree, but that's a whole other conversation. But but yeah, absolutely. I wanted to do something that was contributing back to the community and bringing about social change. So I started working in the not-for-profit sector, which is where I've been ever since. I'm still there currently, sort of from a funding area of things. Mm-hmm. But also it's great to be back at Joy and doing something within the GLBTI community again.
So what's your history at Joy so far? How have you been involved within the organisation?
Well, the early days, as I mentioned before, and then I came back into it and did the Taste of Radio course.
Okay, so that's a course here at Joy. What does that give you?
Oh, it's great fun. Mm-hmm. It's an 8-week course and it's an introduction to radio, but I thought I sort of knew a bit about radio, but I learnt so much, and it gives you the opportunity to meet some great people, learn a lot about all the aspects of bringing something to air. Mm-hmm. And also the experience of what it actually means. So it's really good fun.
Certainly. Well, we look forward to bringing you on board this this year and welcoming you to Gay News Week. Thank you very much for joining us this year.
That's a pleasure. I'm very happy to be here, and I'm glad you guys have invited me on board.
Excellent. It's time to take a break. We'll be back with more in a moment.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're on Gay News Week with Katie and Matt this evening, right here on Joy 94.9. And tonight we're joined by Serkan Ozturk. He is the news editor for SX in Sydney and the Gay News Network online. Serkan, welcome to Gay News Week.
Thank you very much, Katie and Matt.
Serkan, now we wanted to have a chat to you about basically, firstly, some of the big news stories that happened in 2012. It was a big year in the community.
It was a matzo ball of highlights and lowlights, and in terms of news, it was a roller coaster ride. January started off quite with a fault, I guess, when Margaret Court turned up at the Australian Open with a few words that got lots of people upset, and you know, the upset continued throughout the year, but there was also plenty of highlights in terms of wins in aged care and terms of, you know, Peter Madden's hate truck being kind of battled against and things like that. So it was a big year.
Serkan, I just want to say thank you very much for starting this interview on an excellent pun with the the Margaret Court pun of a bit of a fault there. Let's look at these stories in detail, because you've written this article that was published on the Gay News Network. The first story in the article that you mention is that this tennis champion turned pastor serves up a gay media frenzy. Do you want to talk a little bit closer about that and what exactly was said?
Well, what happened was Margaret Court, as we know, she's a former tennis champion, one of the best ever tennis players to have played the sport, and she is Australian. But now she's a Perth, she's a preacher in Perth of the evangelical stripe, and she's been running a anti-gay crusade for at least a decade or two now. She became an evangelical Christian a few decades ago now, and seems to be anti-gay hate is one of her key oeuvres there. But she wrote an article in the Herald Sun in Melbourne suggesting that people's sexuality was a choice, and that people only identify as gay because if somebody is told they are gay, they often start to believe it. Understandably, this kicked off a huge storm. It ended up involving Martina Navratilova and Billie Jean King, both lesbians and also both bigger tennis stars in their days, who swung back at Margaret Court and gave her a bit of her own serve, I guess. But the good thing was that everyday people got involved. We saw a lot of grassroots activists. They started up a group called Rainbow Flags over Margaret Court Arena, which got a lot of mainstream publicity. Rainbow Flags were, you know, basically people in rainbow colours, and descended onto Margaret Court Arena, which is the second biggest stadium behind Rod Laver Arena at the tennis park there in Melbourne. And they showed their pride by waving rainbow flags and painting rainbow flags on their cheeks and whatnot. So what happened was, after the controversy, initial controversy, Court's article was actually her Herald Sun article, where she made the claims that sexuality was a choice, that was actually directed towards the Press Council, who in April, they found that her claims that sexuality was a choice were probably inaccurate and potentially dangerous, and they forced the Herald Sun in the end to attach the judgment to its article online. So a bit of a a smash back at Margaret Court. She has been quite quiet since. If anyone has heard from Margaret, maybe they can tell her to give me a call, and if she wants to discuss her concerns or her views in detail. We tried to call her, you know, a few times, and she's just fobbed us off a number of times.
Not answering, sir.
No, not at all. So if anyone's seen Margaret, please tell her to email me or call me, and we're willing to talk about her views.
We'll keep her eye out for you.
It has to be said, looking back at some of these stories, that sometimes those kinds of comments actually do potentially in the long term do us a favour as a community, doesn't it? If we saw the gay hate track with Peter Madden and also Stephen Milne's comments to Harry O'Brien, the outcome of that is actually a rally of support, and it opens up the conversation. Is that what you tend to find in the way you're reporting?
Yes, I think that 2012, for me, it showed there was a lot of... When these bad news stories do occur, it seems to be, I guess, with the advent of social media and with more people using it and more people being a bit more confident in that respect, these kinds of what could be bad news things, they end up turning to galvanise the community. We saw it happen again in February and March, where in New South Wales, Peter Madden, I'm not sure how much Joy listeners know about Peter Madden, but he's pretty much the most famous fire and brimstone preacher who's in Sydney, who holds a line that gay people basically shouldn't exist, really.
Right, yeah.
And bizarrely enough, Peter's actually left Sydney this week. He's actually moving to Tasmania. Oh. But while in New South Wales last year, he drove that hate truck, which we all remember, with you know, messages that same-sex marriage was going to destroy the world and lead to pedophilia or whatnot. We saw something that could have been quite unsavoury in the end, galvanising a lot of people in the community, both in Brisbane and in regional centres such as Lismore in northern New South Wales, just coming together in like a peaceful and a very in a confident manner, and also in a with a sense of humour, like battling these the messages Peter Madden was spreading can be quite hateful, but the way the gay community and the LGBTI community broadly responded to that was, you know, with a good sense of humour, and also not wanting to back down, and just with a big number. So we saw it time and time again, and we saw it, you know, with Queensland as well in the... When Campbell Newman got it elected.
how could you forget that catchy theme song from his campaign?
But we saw up in Queensland there as well when the election happened, and the Qatar Party released that horrible, horrible ad with the
Grim Reaper.
With the skirts and the, you know, having a go at gay people. We saw it again there. The community, it seems, I do put a large part to it with the community being much more connected with the media in terms of radio, internet, online, and also the street press like we do. And it just seems that people are sharing more information, so we can fight back.
And it was a
much
good,
quicker.
Yes, indeed. And it was certainly a good end to the year with the federal government overhauling national anti-discrimination laws.
It's been a long time coming. As there's still a debate about the effectiveness of these suggested new laws. We did have just this week the media companies, just today or yesterday, the media companies coming together. I mean, I'm talking about Channel 7, SBS, Channel 9, all the big players, Fairfax, coming together to argue against some of the aspects of the discrimination laws, the consolidation. But broadly speaking, the LGBTI community has been waiting for something like this for quite a while, in terms of proper guarantees and proper protections on the grounds of sexual identity, gender identity. But there are still some concerns in terms of will intersex be protected? How far will exemptions go? Will schools still be allowed to, you know, fire or not hire gay students or teachers? We see that the aged care industry will have to abide by new discrimination policies, but there's still concern in the community where the... are they strong enough? Are they the right law? So I guess that's it was a big step, and we look forward to the next few months especially to see where that's going to lead us.
Yeah, certainly. We are speaking to Serkan Ozturk. He's the news editor for SX in Sydney and Gay News Network Online right here on Gay News Week on Joy 94.9. Now, Serkan, the Salvation Army had a bit of a publicity issue in 2012. What happened there?
Yes, I don't think they haven't really recovered too greatly from it either. It was thanks to Darren Hayes, everyone's favourite former Savage Garden lead singer. He sent off a innocuous type tweet during June. I was actually on holidays in Europe, so I caught this all over the internet, but it went off like a firestorm. Darren Hayes, he just posted the fact that the Salvation Army, it does have somewhat anti-gay policies, at least in its literature, if not if that's what their members follow. So he pointed that out on Twitter, and lo and behold, it was picked up by a lot of people on the social networks, and it came back to the Salvation Army, who then kind of put their foot in their mouth even more when they actually went on your radio station, Joy FM, and then tried to defend some of the claims that were being made. But we had Major Andrew Crabb, who was a senior media relations director, and he went on to Joy, and he said that the handbook that the Salvos use, the Salvationist Handbook of Doctrine, he agreed that it kind of says that homosexuals should be condemned to death.
Yes, those comments were actually heard, as you said, on Joy 94.9. It was on Salt and Pepper's program, Pete Dillon and Serena Ryan, every Tuesday from 7pm on Joy. Now, 2012 was also a big year in the AFL as far as the gay culture in the AFL. What happened there?
It's very ironic that Stephen Milne, who is probably not a friend of the gay community at all, but he kind of kick-started all this. He got involved in a scuffle with Collingwood defender Harry O'Brien, and he ended up calling him a effing homo. I'm not sure exactly how much you're going to bleep out of that, but anyway, that's what Stephen Milne said, and that kind of set off a chain reaction. We saw the AFL, after pressure from the likes of Jason Ball, you know, who's now known as Australia's first gay footballer despite being an amateur VFL player, he started a petition with the help of Change. Other advocates and activists got on the back of the AFL, people like Doug Pollard and the like in Melbourne. And then, lo and behold, the AFL, Andrew Demetrio, came to the party, first with agreeing to air the No to Homophobia ad, which was designed by All Founder Gay and Lesbian Lobby down in Victoria. And after that, they were aired during the finals, so during the last 2 weeks of the AFL in September. And after that, Demetrio, closer to the end of the year, Demetrio then said, you know what, the Pride round, people put enough pressure on me, let's seriously start thinking about a Pride round next year. And the coda to that is that Hawthorne and Sydney are now tipped to play a Pride match in Sydney sometime in 2013.
It is a very exciting time for the AFL because, these kind of things are happening. We're speaking to Serkan Oztürk. He is the news editor at SX in Sydney and at Gay News Network Online. You're on Gay News Week. We'll be back with more in a moment.
It's the perfect mix of music, news and interviews. Joy
94.9. You're listening to Gay News Week with Sammy, Jeffrey and Matt on Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Gay News Week right here on Joy 94.9. It's Katie and Matt with you this evening. We're speaking to Serkan Oztürk. He is the news editor at SX in Sydney and at Gay News Network Online. Serkan, now at Gay News Network, you put together an article about the gays to watch in 2013. Isn't that right?
Yes, it's not just the gays, it's the LGBT community.
That's
and
right.
It's our second year of putting the list together, and sadly this year we couldn't include an intersex person because the year before we had Tony Briffa, the former mayor of Hobson City, I believe. So it's LGBT this year. We've got about 14 people who we believe are either intriguing or there's something to them that they either did during 2012 or that's going to set them up for a big year in 2013.
Serkan, it's a pretty exciting list of people when you have a look through it. It certainly whets the appetite for all the things that can be happening within the community through this year.
Well, as we know, the community is quite diverse. Like, so we got people like Jason Ball, who we've heard of, who really led the charge for the AFL to do something about diversity and homophobia and inclusion of gay footballers. And he's become a Beyond Blue ambassador. And just last week, Jason also actually talked to all the new AFL players joining the competition this year to discuss themes of diversity and inclusion and how to fight for tolerance and equality as a footballer. So he's going to be doing bigger and better things this year. But then we have the likes of Aliena Muhammad Ali, who's she's an active Muslim queer Muslim advocate and activist based in Melbourne. She's been getting rave reviews just for the way she's been running the Queer Muslims Australia online space, where we're basically, I'm a member of the Queer Muslims Forum, and it's great. Like, you get to see a side of a life, both to gay life and Australian life, that many people don't, and that's a lot. Large thanks to Aliana, who's really connected Muslim people from all across Australia with each other in basically in the last few years. So she's on there, and she's been getting a lot of the mainstream press in the last few weeks and months as well. So only bigger and better things for her as well.
But I noticed also you've got Anna Brown from the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby, who we'll be speaking to later tonight. You're expecting big things from her as well this year.
Yeah, she got into the position as convener in February last year, but she really turned around the lobby in terms of just getting that energy from what we could see, the energy and the passion, and just really being proactive on, you know, advocating on issues. And we saw that with the No to Homophobia campaign. And we believe, you know, at SX, at Gay News Network, that that there's definitely, she's definitely someone to watch, that she's very switched on. I'm sure if you will be speaking to her, you know this as well, and that the Victorian lobby is going to be really lifting up their game as well in 2013, as she told us.
Yeah, certainly, Serkan Ozturk from Gay News Network. It's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you this evening. Thank you very much for coming on Gay News Week and talking about what's coming up in 2013.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You are on Joy 94.9. This is Gay Newsweek. Katie and Matt with you this evening. We're going to be speaking to Anna Brown from the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby in just a moment. But first, we thought we'd take the time to have a look at some news stories that are making news around the world, Katie.
That's right. And first off tonight, Matt, we're going to Indonesia. Yes.
Going north.
Yes, we're going north. So basically, over there in Aceh, the Indonesian province of Aceh, they've introduced some new Islamic Sharia laws that include flogging gay people and banning women passengers from straddling motorbikes.
See, I heard about this story a little bit earlier in the week, and straddling motorbikes. Why is that such a big deal? I can't understand that at all. It just seems bizarre.
Here is the reason. I'm glad you asked.
Oh, you've got the reason. Great.
Not from me, from the mayor of the city, who is implementing the law. Women sitting on motorbikes must not sit astride because it will provoke the male driver. It's improper for women to sit astride. We implement Islamic law here. I should just say Indonesia is a majority Muslim, but Aceh is the only province ruled by the Sharia law. It was granted special autonomy for those laws in 2001.
Right. Okay, so it's going to provoke the male driver.
Provoke the male driver.
That is a load of... You know what? Okay, moving on to the next story.
Well, I thought I'd slip in something from the homeland.
You did mention you are from New Zealand.
Just to, you know, have some, you know.
Two stories in and we're already back home to you. Okay, rightio.
Yes. Anyway, over in New Zealand, the Advertising Standards Authority has ruled a billboard, an advertisement depicting the Pope blessing a male couple in marriage, did not cause widespread offence. So a few people did complain about this one, Matt.
Yeah, right. I'm looking at it right in front of me. I don't see anything wrong with it.
It's
a drawing. It's not even a photograph. It's just a drawing.
It is. And I have to say the Kiwis have always been quite progressive in this as civil unions in New Zealand, but they're still looking towards marriage equality. And it was an electricity company that put it forward, basically saying it was thought-provoking and satirical, and that they want to embrace freedom and equality.
I think fantasy comes to mind there. I don't think we're ever going to see the Pope doing anything like that.
It's unlikely.
But it's nice to hear it. Now, in a news that we heard at 7 o'clock with Gary Wilson on the news, something's happening with the Boy Scouts of America, because they've always been so great to the gay community.
Well, I believe there's lots happening with the Boy Scouts of America, but in this this particular case, a California chapter is challenging the national organization's ban on gays by recommending that a gay team be awarded the rank of Eagle Scout, which is the highest ranking.
Yeah, now, I believe that he was actually denied it because of he wouldn't agree to certain parts about certain parts of their... oath, is it? Let's say oath. They take an oath, and it's about being committed to God.
Duty of God.
Duty of God. That's it. Thank you. I'm glad you know something.
Well, something. Anyway, so, yeah, they're basically taking them to task on that and trying to change that, which is always good to see, particularly in some of those conventional organisations.
Mm. Well, it would be interesting to see what happens with that one. Also, the founder of PFLAG, something very sad.
Oh, Yes. Jan Marford, who founded the Straight Alley, who's founded PFLAG in 1972, mm-hmm. she died on Tuesday the 8th of January at the age of 92
years old, which it's incredible that that we've come so far. And PFLAG, especially in America, it doesn't play that big a role here in Australian life. But PFLAG, these straight ally groups, they're big things, especially in the LGBTI community.
They absolutely are. And they do have a good presence in Australia.
Do they really?
Yes, they do. My parents were long ones.
Oh, really?
Yes. They did. That's it was wonderful. A big step forward.
Just once or?
A couple of times, but only a couple.
On
but they had a go and they did find it really helpful. And it's great to have those community organisations that are still available for people to go along to if they do need that extra support.
But I think it is really important. See, we talk a lot about and how hard it is for young people to come out these days. But for a generation that hasn't really grown up around the whole concept of being gay or anything to do with our community, sometimes parents need a little bit of help because they're not always negative. They just don't know how. They're just ignorant. They just don't know how to cope with these kind of things.
Well, it's an interesting point. And I think the other thing that we all try to remember in these times is that it is a process of coming out for parents and yeah. family members too. And, you know, we go through that process ourselves, mm-hmm. but also it's about sometimes we need support in that, mm-hmm. and family members often do too. And PFLAG's been an enormous supporter and player in the gay community for a long time.
Certainly. So they do a great job, and rest in peace. The founder of PFLAG, Jeanne Marford, who died at 92 years.
That's right. And next up, back in the States, a transgender teacher is suing the New York Catholic school where she worked for 32 years, claiming she was fired for dressing as a woman.
Right, okay. So is this woman trans, I believe?
Yes, that's right. She's a trans teacher, and she was sacked after a complaint from a pupil's parents.
Mm-hmm. This woman has been dedicated to this school for more than 32 years, and they are turning around and doing this, which I think is absolutely outrageous.
Yes.
And I think schools just really need to pick up their game in being accepting of not only their students, who may be LGBTI, but also the teachers. It includes the whole thing. We talk a lot about young people in schools and making sure we're providing inclusive environments. Workplaces are just important.
Oh, absolutely. Particularly the teachers. Particularly when you've got good ones who have been there for 32 years.
Exactly. Who are clearly very dedicated to a school.
Yes.
Anyway.
Never mind. Bit of entertainment now.
Oh, yes. it's always the case at this time.
Neil Patrick Harris.
I love him.
We love him. Mm. He is in one of the Super Bowl ads, and a website has accused a US TV network of mocking Christians by using him to promote the game. Yes. Yes. They're pushing a gay agenda. This is their comment, not mine.
Of course.
They're pushing a gay agenda by using him, and they're mocking Christians at the same time.
The gay agenda. Oh, it's always. Oh, I spoke a little bit about this last year on Gay Newsweek. The gay agenda. We love it. Us homosexual rights lobby or whatever we are. Speaking of the rights lobby, we've got the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby coming up very shortly right here on Joy 94.9. It's the gayest station in the nation.
Real people. Real topics. Joy 94.9.
This is Gay Newsweek right here on Joy 94.9. We're joined this evening by Anna Brown from the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby. Anna, welcome to Gay Newsweek.
Thank you for having me.
It's really great to talk to you, Anna, and we really appreciate you coming on tonight. We want to ask you some things about sort of what's been happening in 2012 and also moving into 2013. But first of all, just for any of our listeners who may not be aware, can you just tell us a little bit about the lobby and in particular what it's focused on?
Sure. Well, the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby is a lobby organisation obviously that works towards equality for social justice for the whole of the LGBTI community, but in conjunction with groups like Transgender Victoria and Bi Alliance and others that represent specific groups, which is why our name, some people get confused by our name, that we're only the Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby, but that's because we respect the autonomy of these other voices in the community, but we do advocate on behalf of the whole community for human rights and social justice for all LGBTI people.
And it was you took over as convener early in 2012, and it was a big year for the lobby.
Yeah, I wanted to. I guess I made the decision that I wanted to give back to the community and do my bit. And I work in the human rights sector, so an obvious choice was to get on board an advocacy organisation like the lobby. And from the get-go, we set some goals about issues that we wanted to tackle in the human rights space, including some of the issues that you've discussed already on your program, like discrimination protections for LGBTI people and the federal reforms that are currently being discussed, but also Victorian issues like same-sex adoption. We still don't have equality on that issue in Victoria, and more recently this issue of convictions for gay sex from as recently as the 80s, actually, and further back, that still affect the lives of many gay men, many of whom are elderly now but are unable to travel freely or volunteer or work for particular types of organisations.
Mm, definitely. And, of course, last year was a big year the VGLRL, also Foundation Transgender Victoria and the Anti-Violence Project teamed up to bring us the No to Homophobia campaign. It was a big campaign and it got quite a lot of attention, didn't it?
Yeah, we were really pleased, especially considering most of us are volunteer-based organisations without any resources. We had a really committed team of people that worked really hard to put the campaign together, and we ended up getting really like quite a staggering amount of media coverage, and people like Jason Ball really helped us get the message out there to organisations like the AFL, and We were just overwhelmed by the level of positive feedback and support, both within the LGBTI community, but obviously most importantly, mainstream media, like stations like the Herald Sun, obviously radio stations, sports radio stations, and then papers like the Herald Sun and all the mainstream commercial television stations. It was really fantastic to see the campaign take off and get that sort of coverage.
After the coverage that was particularly around the campaign, have you noticed any changes in how community issues are reported in the mainstream media generally?
Look, I think it's probably a bit too early to say, but I think even getting the word, some of the language out there, like we were very conscious to obviously the key message was around homophobic harassment, but to also refer to concepts like transphobia and biphobia, mm-hmm. Just to make people aware that those sorts of issues exist. And I think it was really important that the TV ads actually portrayed instances of harassment against not just gay and lesbian people, but bisexual people and transgender people. So having those sorts of representations on television screens for the first time was really important. Mm. In fact, it was the first time that sort of advertising campaign had hit mainstream television in Australia. We've had, I guess, campaigns around racism and sexism, but no one had tackled these issues yet. Obviously don't have the money to get it in, you know, during MasterChef or anything, but we're relying on community service announcements. But that in itself is getting the message out there.
Yeah, any way you can get your voice out there, basically. We are speaking to Anna Brown from the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby. Anna, thank you for joining us on Gay Newsweek. And now I want to talk about what's ahead for 2013 with the VGLRL. What have you got planned and what can we expect?
Sure, well, a process that's really straddling both years is this Human Rights and Anti-Discrimination Bill that's currently the subject of a Senate committee inquiry. Some of you may have heard of this already, but that's probably the most important reform for our community in the it's been building over 17 years, and for the first time we're going to hopefully get some national protections against discrimination for our community. We are advocating for some changes, particularly around the definition of gender identity, to make sure it's inclusive of intersex people. And then there's the thorny issue of the religious exemptions for religious organisations and schools. And there'll be intensive public debate. What I'm concerned about at the moment is some of the commentary around, I think, not very well-informed commentary around other aspects of the bill. So it's really important, I think, that as a community, and we'll certainly be encouraging the community, that we get behind this reform and we tell our stories and make people aware of the need for this to happen before the federal election.
And so the community can get involved. You are actually calling out four stories from people within the community, is that correct?
Yes, and if people come along to midsummer, we'll be launching a survey with All Out, a global organisation that's helping LGBTI groups in Australia try and generate support for the reform. So we'll be having information about the All Out survey hopefully on Sunday, but keep obviously a watch in the gay press for that. and also we'll have a video camera, and if people want to come up to our stall and tell their stories to camera, we're hoping to put together a video to show the senators when we give evidence before the public inquiries later in January. So there's a real opportunity to literally tell your story to camera and have that heard by parliamentarians that are looking at this bill.
That's incredibly exciting and a wonderful opportunity for people to have their stories heard. In 2013, I know same-sex adoption is something you're looking at as well continually.
Given the current political climate in Victoria, we're not hugely optimistic about our chances, but I think we need to keep pushing for this. It's the only remaining explicit form of discrimination on our statute books in Victoria. So I think it's incumbent upon us to try and advocate for change. But where there is some more potential, I think, there's a bit of a window of opportunities on the issue of historic convictions for gay sex.
Yep.
And you probably already know this, and the listeners might have heard and seen the coverage this week in The Age, but the Victorian Attorney-General's tasked Clem Newton-Brown, the member for Prahran, with going out and talking to some key organisations, and we're working closely with Clem and others to try and make sure that we do our best to put forward a proposal and to the Attorney-General that hopefully can actually achieve some change in this area.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's a very important issue. On a lighter note, Anna, you're one of the people to watch, according to the Gay News Network. How does that feel?
Oh, obviously very flattered. And my partner keeps saying she's keeping an eye on me now. she's watching me in 2013. But, yeah, in all seriousness, I think MCV have done a great job of covering sort of issues affecting our community last year, and obviously will continue to do so in this year. So it was great to be recognised by that publication and the Gay News Network generally. And let's hope that we can keep up the good work and keep the pressure on and do some good things in the year ahead.
Yes, certainly. Anna Brown from the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby. Before we let you go, where can people go to find out more information about the Rights Lobby and maybe if they want to get involved?
Sure, that's very easy. People just need to go to our website, which is www.vglrl.org.au, or they can just Google us and it's the first link that comes up, and find out all they need to know about volunteering or joining. We do have we're a membership-based organisation, so we rely on membership fees, which is only $20 a year, so bargain price, and people, if they're interested in getting involved in volunteering, we're always looking for people to get on board and help us with our work.
Yeah, wonderful. Anna Brown from the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby, thank you very much for joining us on Gay News Week.
Thank you.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
It's Katie Larson and Matt Thompson with you this evening on Gay News Week, right here on Joy 94.9. It's your GLBTI radio station, and we always welcome your feedback. Sammy, a former presenter of Gay News Week,
indeed,
has sent us a text message saying, great to hear the news from the past year, really enjoying the show from the other side of the microphone, which it is wonderful to have some fresh voices on air, but you're lovely, Sammy. I really do miss you, and I'm going to miss you all of this year. But I tell you, who else is appreciative that you're not on the show anymore is your girlfriend, Betty, who has sent in a text message saying, welcome back, Gay News Week team. Thank you for doing the show, and as well, thank you, Katie, for doing the show so she can have her girlfriend back, of course. And someone else has sent us a text on 0427JOY949 asking, where can we get information on the details of the groups participating in Pride March this year? Now, of course, you can just find those details on their website. You can get on contact with them. Just make sure you Google Pride March Victoria, and that's all the information right up there for you. Now, Katie, we have run out of time. Look at that. We are sitting on 1 minute to wait, which means the girls from Laylink are coming in. Now, Katie, where can we hear you else on the Joy Dial?
Oh, right. I'm glad you asked. tomorrow night, myself and Nicole will be on the early time slot of 11 p.m. with Fresh Air. We'll be doing a show all about how you can change your life.
Right. So where can we hear that again?
That's Joy 94.9, 11 p.m. Fresh Air.
Not a problem. And what day?
Tomorrow
night. Wonderful. You can follow me on Twitter at MattJoy949 until next Wednesday at 7 o'clock. This has been Gay News Week. Katie, thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks, everyone.
Good night and take care.
Here's news. They say no news is good news, right? But no news means no Gay News Week. And that would be bad news. Bad, bad news. So for news you can't refuse, choose Gay News on Joy 94.9. Now there's something for you to muse.
That rhymes. To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.